worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, just as I promised Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Again, verses 1 through 9, Joshua chapter 1, reading verse 9 one more time. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then looking in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Again, Deuteronomy 6, starting at verse 1. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land in which, the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verses 1 through 9, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Father, we thank you once again for the eternal wisdom that fills your word. Thank you for the guidance, the grace, the anointing, the power, the joy that flows from your word. Thank you for the blessings that flow into our lives as we take the time to read and meditate on your word. Lord, thank you for the truth that as we read your word on a daily basis, Father, you're spending time with us, and thank you for the fact that you'll spend as much time with us as we will spend with you in your word. Thank you for the anointing that rests upon it. Help us to grow daily in our understanding of the great need for us to make it the priority you would have us to make it, to spend time in your word each and every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Mark Ose is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Dear Lord God, thank you for allowing us to serve you in this way, doing this show. And I pray that many are being encouraged as they hear the word and the articles and what you have put on Pastor Joseph's heart to present today. Lord God, as we seek to minister to folks who are listening, I pray that you would also hear our prayers. And God, my wife has a health need, and I would ask that our listeners might join me in praying for Evelyn. And I don't need to go into details, but help us, deliver us from anxiety, Lord God, as we wait upon your healing or whatever plan you may have in store for Evelyn. And God, thank you for being so loving and for sustaining all things as you do. I thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark. Thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're going to take time specifically to pray for Evelyn right now, okay? Father, thank you, Lord, and thank you, Father, for the opportunity to pray for her. Whatever it is that has come against her body and her being, Father, we rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Bind the enemy,
yes.
Touch her body, Father, minister healing and wholeness to her entire being in Jesus' name. Quicken her spiritually, physically, mentally. And Father, we speak shalom over her entire being. Thank you, Father, for healing and wholeness. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen.
And thank you, Pastor Joseph.
All righty. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want you to keep in mind, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. And, of course, we're grateful to have individuals that do email us to get copies of the articles that we share, and got a number of responses from the broadcast yesterday. So keep in mind, we're glad to share them, and our hope is that you'll take them and use them in your own walk with the Lord, but also that you'll use them in discipling your family. And our encouragement is that you will forward them and share them far and wide as the Lord leads you with people that you know, maybe fellow church members or persons that you may interact with, people on the job, saved or unsaved, because remember, they're seeds to point people to Jesus Christ and point people to the Word and seeds for discipleship as well. So again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Yesterday, we looked at the topic, Biblical Insights on Christian Manhood. Yesterday was part one. Today, we're looking at the topic again, Biblical Insights on Christian Manhood, part two specifically. And so again, we're grateful to have you listening in. And the two passages that we read at the beginning of the broadcast, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, and Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. Both of them, again, have to do with important directions God gave to leaders and or parents. And so looking at Joshua chapter 1, I want you to keep in mind, Joshua is the leader appointed by God to follow in the footsteps of Moses. Now, as we pointed out, Moses is a towering figure in Scripture. He was a towering figure before the Israelites. And even though the Israelites, it seems, gave him a tough time, a hard time for the 40 years they were in the wilderness, they revered him. They really looked up to Moses. And probably one of the reasons why God had Moses to go off to a place where they don't know where he was buried. God himself buried Moses, so they didn't know where he was buried because, you know, people in their humanness sometimes may want to even sometimes make some sort of shrine around a person's a grave site if they were a great, great leader. Well, the goal certainly is not to do that sort of thing. And so God himself, I think, recognized that the people highly revered Moses and knew that to some extent, Joshua would have a bit of a challenge to step into the shoes, so to speak, of Moses afterwards. So here in Joshua chapter 1, God gives him very specific instructions about how to take up the leadership of Israel now that Moses is off the scene. Note specifically how Joshua chapter 1 begins. Now listen to how God begins to speak to Joshua about stepping up to be the leader after Moses is off the scene. Joshua 1, verse 1 says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving them to the people of Israel. So God announces to him. Now, again, keep in mind, Joshua, prior to God telling him, made out known at that point that Joshua had died, excuse me, that Moses had died, that is, because Moses went off to another area, and so the Israelites were not there when Moses died. Remember, Moses didn't die of old age. He didn't die of sickness. Moses was in great health, but it was just time for him to go home. And God let him pass away in a secret place. But now Joshua is stepping up to the place of leadership, and God is giving him instructions. And he gives Joshua very important instructions, which let him know, be a student of the Word of God. And I want to share the passage one more time, and I want you to listen how much emphasis God puts on hearing the Word of God, trusting the Word of God, and courageously obeying the Word of God. Joshua 1, verses 1 to 9, once again. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Note again, verses 1 to, as we've read Joshua 1, verses 1 to 9, once again. Note, God tells him, this book of the law should not depart from your mouth. Now, keep in mind, God wants him to continue to read and study the Word of God, but also to speak the Word of God as well. Note, that's a very important truth to pick up on. And when he says, the law shall not depart from your mouth, I want to remind you once again, as we've shared before, there are at least seven wonderful ways we can put the Word of God to work in our lives. Again, we can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, pray it, obey it, and meditate on it. All seven are different functions, ways you can take the Word of God and use them in a way that's edifying, that's powerful, and that can get great use out of God's Word. None of them are quite the same thing. Note here very specifically, it points out, God is basically letting Joshua know you're to read and meditate on the Word of God and also to speak the Word of God. That's one of the ways we could keep the Word of God in our mouths, by speaking it. So reading it, meditating on it, and speaking the Word of God. You know, many of you as listeners probably have memorized Psalm 23. That's a good psalm, obviously, to memorize. But you know, along with having it memorized, it's wise to speak Psalm 23 several times in the course of a day and remind God, God, I'm standing on the promises of Psalm 23. Why? Because that's one of the ways you can put the sword of the Spirit to work, speaking the promises found in the Word of God. Lord, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of wisdom that would encourage us to maximize our use of the Word of God each and every day as the sword of the Spirit. We thank and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Lift up your head, lift up your eyes to see. nation is waiting and longing for sons and daughters to declare this truth. Lift up your head, lift up your voice and sing that he is alive, shining.
Brian and Katie Torwalt with He is the Light. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, part two of Biblical Insights on Christian Manhood. And again, keep in mind, any and all the articles that we share on the broadcast on this topic, just let us know if you'd like to get copies. We'll be glad to get them to you. Now, again, we looked shared from Joshua chapter 1. And note that part of what God calls Joshua to do, but keep in mind, God is speaking to Joshua, but to every believer as well. We too are to follow God in the way God commanded Joshua to follow him as well. He gives us our orders from and our commandments from the Word of God. We're to live by them, and we're to follow them courageously. And you know, sometimes as believers, we may fail to really think about that. What does it mean to follow God boldly and courageously? Well, the fact is, sometimes as believers, if we're not careful, we could be timid about the way we follow God. And sometimes timidity can cause us not just to not follow God faithfully. We may miss what God wants done altogether because we may feel like, well, it's just too hard or it's too difficult. Well, the fact is, we're to boldly and courageously hear the Word of God and boldly and courageously obey the Word of God. So a part of what God calls Joshua to do and calls us to do is to hear the Word of God and boldly and courageously obey it. In other words, to be a hearer and a doer of the Word of God. Christian men were called to hear God's Word diligently and to follow and obey God's Word courageously. You know, the fact is, timidity and fear sadly shuts down a lot of things in the kingdom of God. So many times there are believers who literally may miss much of their calling because they're afraid. They're fearful. They're just thinking, I'm not sure if I can do that, or it's just too big. It's too daunting. It's important to know every believer is called to follow God courageously and boldly. Lord, thank you for the calling you've placed upon each and every one of our lives. Father, anoint each and every one of us today with the spirit of boldness and courage. Help us to courageously hear your word and obey everything you've called us to do. Help us to be diligent, to be courageous, Lord. And help us to know, Lord, that that's the way, that's really the best way to follow you boldly and courageously on a daily basis. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So keep in mind, again, there's much more in that passage than you might think, but I would encourage you as a believer, take time to go back and read it several times because, again, God is talking to every one of us. And if you're asking yourself, well, you know, I'm not sure how often I've had to deal with being timid or have lack courage or boldness in following the Lord. Well, no matter who you are, I don't even have to know you to tell you this. Yes, You are called to follow God boldly and courageously as well. And if we don't, there will be times in which we miss God, because the only way to follow him faithfully in many instances is to do it boldly and courageously. And yes, the devil comes after every believer with fear and timidity to try to shut down what God is doing in your life. Don't allow the devil and his demonic hordes to make you to be fearful, to encourage you to be fearful, and just to decide it's too difficult, it's too tough, it's too high a mountain to climb. With God's help, you can fulfill everything God has called you to do. But again, it will take following God courageously and boldly. Father, anoint every man listening afresh with the spirit of courage and boldness in the name of Jesus. Help us to know, Lord, there's so much critically important work we're called to do, and that we'll only be able to do it as we follow you courageously and boldly, and help us to be faithful to do it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And I want you to note, too, the latter part of that passage, actually picking up at verse 8, it says these words: "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." Now, again, it talks about, again, how do we keep the word from departing from our mouth? Speak the word of God continually. But also, it specifically mentions meditate on it day and night. Every Christian man is called to be a diligent student of Scripture. None of us are called to snack on the word of God or to just dip in it from time to time when we don't have anything else to do. No, this reading and studying of the word of God is to be a major priority for every man of God. Even if you sometimes say, well, I don't really care for reading that much. Well, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you get over that. Because the fact is, if God calls us to be students who read and study and meditate on the word of God, you just need to ask God to help you to become diligent at it, because it's a critical part of being able to carry out your mission, being a diligent student of Scripture. It goes on to say, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." In other words, being prosperous and having good success is found in hearing the word of God, receiving it, and obeying it as well. So if you want to see success and see God prosper the work of your hands, we need to be diligent students of the word. Verse 9 goes on to say, "Have I not commanded you?" Note here, when God asks a question, it's never because he lacks information. When God asks a question, he wants you to really think about what he's saying to you. Verse 9 starts out, says, "Have I not commanded you?" In other words, God's not suggesting. He's not suggesting that we follow him courageously and boldly. He's commanding us to follow him courageously and boldly. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So just a reminder to every man listening, and of course a man and every believer, period, read Joshua 1 often, because whatever God has called you to do, you need to be mindful that the Holy Spirit will help you to be bold and courageous. Yet we're wise to pray for a fresh anointing of the spirit of boldness. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of boldness, and we're wise to ask for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit of boldness to be faithful to carry out the work God has called each and every one of us to do. Now, the passage that we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, now that one has to do with discipling our families largely. Now, here too, it's important that I keep using the word diligent, and that's a very, very important word when it comes to the work God calls every believer to. Diligent is someone that's careful to be faithful. Careful to be faithful. Diligence. Because the fact is, if we're not careful, we can become careless. And you never want to be careless when it comes to how you obey and follow the Lord. Satan and demonic act, the act and the work of demons in our lives will try to always get us to be careless and uncaring about the things of God. But it's important to note that every believer's call to a life of diligence, to where We're very careful to do exactly and faithfully what God has called us to do. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it has to do again with discipleship and largely discipling your family. Note, too, very specifically, it's important that this, too, is that parents and grandparents that are listening, this is a passage that we're wise to read often to remind us of the importance of being diligent when it comes to doing the work of discipling our children. I want to read this passage once again as well. Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 to 9. Listen one more time to the details that God is saying. And men, keep in mind, don't ever make the big mistake of thinking, well, discipleship, that's something that I'll let my son's mom do that, or I'll let my son or daughter's mom, I'll let my wife take care of that. No, men, it's a huge part of our responsibility as Christian men is doing the work of discipleship. If you feel like you're not very effective at it, ask God to anoint you with a fresh anointing of grace to be more effective at it. Because it's very important to know that discipleship is a critically important part of the kingdom of God. And the fact is, every one of us is called to be a disciple and to make disciples. So we all have a part of that responsibility, especially as it relates to our own children. Listen again to Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 to 9. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. To put it another way, a part of what God is calling us to do as believers is we're called to fill our lives with the Word of God. The Word of God is to be a critical part of basically everything we do. And even in the way you decorate your home, planting the Word of God in strategic places for your sake, you and your spouse's sake, and for the sake of your children. You know, the reality is, all of us in the way we decorate our homes, we're wise to pray and say, Lord, help me to decorate my home in a way that glorifies, pleases, and honors you. And putting the Word prominently in your home in decorative ways is a wise thing to do. Why is that important? Well, because the fact is, we're going to decorate our homes in some way or another. And the fact is, there are some things that don't honor God that people put in their homes. Now, obviously, when someone's in the world, that's what you'd expect. But as believers, the fact is, sometimes we have prominent pictures of athletes or movie stars or people that we admire. And, you know, not that that's necessarily wrong, but the fact is, when we don't have the Word of God anywhere, remember, the Word of God is Jesus. And so when you have the written Word of God on display in some capacity in your home, you're pointing yourself and your family and even visitors that come into your home to Jesus and the Word of God. Now, the fact is, when someone visits your home, yes, they notice how you have decorated your home. And pictures of nature, those are fine in their place as well. But having the Word of God prominently in wise places is just smart. It's just a wise way to function as a believer, because that Word can remind people of the wisdom and the power and the grace found in the Word of God. So pray about that. And even in the way you're designing your home and decorating your home, yes, putting the Word in prominent places. Lord, thank you for the opportunity you give us as men to be leaders in our homes in the way we are role models for our spouses and our children. in the way we guide and mold and shape them. Thank you for the opportunity for us to pray in our homes and with our families. Help us to make it a priority to read the Word of God literally in our homes every day with our spouse and our children. Help us to make it the priority you'd have us to make it every day to take time to pray together in our homes, and help us to make prayer what you'd have us to make it as a part of our life and our lifestyle. And help us to realize, Lord, that that's not strange or weird. It's to be normal for a believer. And if it feels strange or weird, help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to make it just a natural part of the way we function every day, knowing that prayer is so important in terms of getting things done by the power of your Holy Spirit. The Word of God is such an important tool and a means whereby we can listen to you and talk with you and converse with you and hear from you. Help us, Lord, more and more to make that the norms in our homes that you would have us to make it. Thank you for the many ways your Word blesses us and molds and shapes us and guides us and directs us and counsels us. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I want to continue to remind you, if you're not reading three chapters in your Bible every day, today's a good day to start that habit. And parents, we encourage you to have each of your children to read no less than three chapters out loud to you daily, because again, it will bless them, it'll bless you, and it releases the grace of God in the atmosphere of your home in a greater way as well. We're looking today at the topic, Biblical Insights on Christian Manhood, Part 2. We'll be right back.
Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all?
Andrew Peterson with Is He Worthy? Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic of Part 2 of Biblical Insights on Christian Manhood. And let me say once again, just want to challenge every single Christian man listening. Keep in mind, it's important that we take this very serious. Every one of us is called to be a disciple and make disciples. And the starting place, of course, is in your own home. Again, you're called to be a disciple and make disciples. Yes, husbands, we're to be discipling our spouses as well. And never think of it in any way as something to look down on the person you're discipling at all, because actually, spouses are to disciple one another or encourage each other in the faith. So yes, we're to be disciples and disciple our spouses as well. obviously, dads, we're to be discipling all of our children as well. We're to be discipling them diligently as well. So, again, we're to be disciples and make disciples. And a big part of starting that work is in our home with our own family and our own children specifically. I want to share now with an article entitled A Skilled Warrior and His Sword. Again, the title, A Skilled Warrior and His Sword. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Again, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In Ephesians 6, 17 and 18. And then 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 50 and 51. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Again, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 50 and 51. Every disciple of Jesus Christ would be wise to strive to become a kingdom warrior. I would define a kingdom warrior as a disciple of Christ who wisely and skillfully puts the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, to work every day in their lives. We live in a world where we all people everywhere, are facing intense spiritual warfare every day in our lives. We face it at home, at school, at work, in public, every day. We see it in the news, in our government, in our culture, and all across the world. In view of this, what if a person says that they don't want to be involved in spiritual warfare? And what if a given person says they don't want to have anything to do with spiritual warfare? Tragically, none of us have a choice in the matter. Like civilians who unfortunately happen to live in a war-torn land, war has come to us, like it or not. Since we have no choice but to face spiritual warfare in our lives, this is our choice. We can live like civilians and just be victims of the killing, abuse, problems, and difficulties of war, or we can choose to become well-equipped soldiers and/or warriors, skilled and trained for war and spiritual warfare. Hopefully, all believers would want to become warriors in God's kingdom, warriors who've learned about the realities of spiritual warfare and that have been taught and trained to be well-equipped soldiers. That should be our goal. Well, just how do we begin to accomplish this? Here are some insights that can help you to do just this. These are truths that we'd be wise to learn and walk in as believers. The most powerful weapon in the world is the Word of God. And here are seven ways that we can put the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, to work in our lives and in our world. And as we do, we can become mighty men and women of God who know how to win battles on the battlefields of life. Seven ways to use the Word of God every day. Read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. All of these uses are related, but none of them are quite the same. You can read the Word, but not hear it. You can read the Word of God, but not obey the Word of God. You can believe the Word of God, but not choose to pray the Word of God. You and I would be wise to strive to use the Word of God in our lives in all seven ways on a daily basis. Why is this true? Consider the following truths. The written Word of God is a book of faith. From Genesis to Revelation, we're called to hear, believe, and obey the Word of God. If we hear the Word of God but don't obey it, we deceive ourselves. See James chapter 1, verse 22. The Word of God is a book full of truth. Yet truth is always meant to be learned and applied. We are to read the Word of God and act like it's true, because, of course, it is. will not receive the blessing and benefits of the Word of God when we fail to obey and act on it fully. So in view of all these truths, we're wise to take God's Word to heart. We are to read it, hear it. We're to read it and believe it in our hearts and speak it with our mouths. And we're to act on the Word of God. In other words, act like God's Word is true. One example of a very fruitful way to put God's Word to work in our lives daily is by praying it. Here's an example of taking the Word of God and praying it on a daily basis. And now we're going to take time to pray Psalm 91. Thank you, Lord, for all those that are part of our listening family right now. And thank you for all those we've lifted up in prayer today. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress. Our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. And so we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent we trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You're with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Keep in mind, we are called to be mighty warriors in the army of God. Our main weapon is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. See Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. Let's be wise enough to take our sword, the powerful Word of God, into battle every single day of our lives. And let's be wise enough to use the Word strategically, skillfully, and aggressively. This is how we can walk in victory in every area of our lives. Again, the title of that article was A Skilled Warrior and His Sword. Please email us to get a copy. We'll be glad to get a copy into your hands. Father, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace that would encourage us to seek to become kingdom warriors that know how to take the Word of God out into the battle and onto the battlefield of life every day and use it wisely every day. Help us to faithfully and diligently do that all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, we're looking today at the topic, again, and keep this in mind, the topic, Biblical Insights on Christian Manhood. And we're encouraging every Christian man listening to seek to be a kingdom warrior, someone who understands that the Word of God is the most powerful weapon in the universe, and we're wise to use it diligently and strategically every day of our lives. Hope that you'll seek to do just that. Well, our time is just about gone, but I want to encourage you that, again, please do email us to get copies of the articles that we've shared on yesterday as well as today's series. And also on an ongoing basis, one of our prayer tools is called Kingdom Prayers. It has about 12 Bible-based prayers that you and I would be wise to pray every single day, including the one that was included in that article, praying Psalm 91. I would challenge and encourage you as a believer, if you're not praying Psalm 91 every day, please start today, because we live in a crazy, dangerous world, and no one can protect you like the Lord can. And one of the wonderful ways to receive supernatural protection is by taking Psalm 91 and praying and standing on its promises on a daily basis. Hope that you'll do just that. Another one of the prayers included in the Kingdom Prayers prayer tool is praying is the prayer of Jabez. Another one, the prayer of Isaiah. Every Christian man listening, please get a copy of the Kingdom Prayers prayer tool. It is a tool that can greatly strengthen your prayer life and help set your prayer life on fire. And remember this, some of the greatest men that have ever walked this earth next to Jesus Christ have been great men of prayer. As we learn to use the wonderful gift and weapon and opportunity of prayer, we can accomplish exploits in the kingdom of God by the power of God. So may we be faithful to become men of prayer. And again, of course, obviously men and women of prayer, but so many great things will happen as we take prayer seriously and we boldly and courageously pray, standing on the Word of God. Hope you'll do just that. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, today is a great day to be saved. If you want to make that step, would you pray this prayer with us even now and fully commit your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, today, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to live my whole life for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. A reminder, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We do want to share with you some literature and resource materials that'll help you to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be sure and get in touch with us again, joseph@afr.net. We look forward to being in touch with you again, joseph@afr.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.